Think about, if you will, for a minute, the best year of your life. Or maybe if you don't keep track of things in years like I don't, think about the best month or the best day. If I was to ask you to describe that to me, wonder what it would be like. I'm thinking you might tell me about an opportunity you had to go to Hawaii, spend a week there, enjoy the sunshine and the warm weather and the pineapple and the Kona coffee, and man, that would be a good week, wouldn't it? But you know, the pessimist does the same way. When I ask him about his, he says, oh, I had a terrible week. You know, somebody hit my car in a parking lot, and I've been laid off, and we're out of food. All we had this week was beans. I ate beans every meal for the whole week. And so these two stories have something in common, don't they? It's all about the externals. It's what's happening to me, and that's how I decide whether I'm happy or not. But that really doesn't work very well for the long term, does it? Life, by its very nature, runs downhill. And so if you're going to decide your happiness and your joy in life by what happens to you on that day, you're going to have a lot of days that are not very joyful. Health gets worse. Bad things happen. Morality is declining in America. I mean, the news alone would depress you, wouldn't it? So you would just give up on rejoicing. Actually, our happiness is based a whole lot more, according to the Bible, on what's happening on the inside. If you realize that God is with you, regardless of what you're facing, is that really a bad day? Many of you have gotten the diagnosis from your doctor that you have cancer or some other difficult disease. That's a devastating day. But if you realize the Lord is with you, and if you die from the treatments, you're just going to go and be with the Lord, it's not nearly as bad a day as it was before you thought about that, is it? We can rejoice in terrible circumstances. If God's working in us, I'm not as good as I ought to be. I've got things in my life I really want to fix, but I haven't got them fixed yet. But I'm better than I was a year ago, and I'm still working. I've got a plan for tomorrow. I'm going to try to get better. So we have the same thing again. If God's plan is opening up before you, I don't know if you think about this very often as you go through your Christian life, you don't realize 6 months after being baptized all the things that you realize 30 years later the Lord is doing, do you? It opens up, and the more you see, the more you start to recognize he's in that too. There are good things all around me, and it's because he's involved. Really, the very least of the things that should decide whether we're happy or not are the things that are happening to us. In Philippians, the 3rd and 4th chapter, Paul writes about rejoicing quite a bit. When he writes that, he's in prison. I just had to think when I thought about that. If I wrote a book from prison, what would I write about? I doubt the word rejoicing would be in it. I could see myself complaining about the bed and the bunk mates and the food and the guards. I can't think of I've been in jails working, and I don't see very much in there to rejoice about. But Paul was rejoicing from prison. He said in chapter 4 and verse 12 that he had learned, regardless of circumstances, to be happy, to be satisfied with where he was, whether he had beans all week or really didn't have enough to eat all week. In chapter 4, verse 13, he said, I can do all things through God that strengthens me. That tells me no matter what comes to me as an external, if God's on my side, I can deal with it. I can deal with it, and at the end of the day, I can be happy laying down knowing that God was with me in that trial. And if it's the end of my life, I'll rejoice in being prepared for judgment. How does Christ strengthen us, though? Galatians 3:27 says, when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. We're covered with Christ. I was thinking about being appropriately dressed for something the other day when I was reading about putting on the armament of God. The other night, there was a knock at the door at 1:30 in the morning, and a loud knock. I mean, it was somebody pounding on the front of the house. So I'm a little nervous going down to the door. Luckily, on the way down the stairs, Susan hollered, "There's a cop car in the driveway." So I knew it was probably the good guys that were at my door. But I wouldn't go to the door like I was dressed for bed. I'm not going to go face a problem without some clothes on. It's not a comfortable thing to think about getting in a fight just being in your pajamas or your underwear, is it? I want my jeans on and maybe some shoes on to protect my feet and maybe some other things. I want to be dressed in the right way for the situation I'm going. When we put on Christ, we are dressed to face things. And we're dressed to face problems that our neighbors will never understand how we can deal with. Back in Philippians, Paul talks about that also. He talks about how the peace that passes all understanding comes on us. That we have a confidence that our brothers and sisters can't comprehend. And I know you've observed that in brothers and sisters that have passed on from this life and did it with peace and obviously accepting the comfort from the Lord. We can be that way in our lives. And it happens from the inside. It happens from letting the Word work in our lives. The New Testament says we're to be a light to the world. Well, we can't be a light to the world until the light is in us, can we? So as we start to change ourselves and have a better attitude about life, I think if anything is needed in America other than just our Savior for salvation, we need a better attitude about life. And we can go about with an attitude of happiness and joy and cause people to want to be around us, or we can bite and snap at every little thing that happens and nobody wants to be around us. And it's all because of what's going on inside. Go back to Philippians 4 in verses 4 through 6. Paul says this, and this will be our last scripture. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind." When you face a trial and you know that somebody's on your side, isn't it so much easier? And to know that you can take any problem in your life and lay them at the Creator's feet and say, "I don't know how to deal with this, but I've read this chapter and I know you know how to deal with it. And I can face life happy because I know you're on my side." And you will get a peace that not only the neighbors won't be able to understand, I don't think you'll understand it either. I don't think you'll understand how. But even better than that, the last part of that verse says, He'll guard your heart and mind. The thing that scares me the most in this life is that I'll die unfaithful. But if I turn my problems over to the Lord, He says He'll guard my heart and my mind. There is nothing that can take me away from the Lord except me. He's going to stay by our side, and we can have that peace that allows us to be a joy and a light in the world instead of another person on Facebook spreading misery. If you need to change your life, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to submit to the Lord in baptism, whatever you need, don't wait until you get home. Let's make it right before we leave here tonight.